When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Schwartz, be with you.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Back off, because the Jets are allowed to have nice things.
Tyler crawled all alone. Mike White finds him for the go-ahead score.
And that if Mike White continues to do well, the Jets will have high-class problems.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, Falcons head coach Arthur Smith from the new film King Richard. Actor John Bernthal. Coming up, two-time Super Bowl champion Terrell Suggs. Plus, actor and musician Tyrese Gibson. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Okay. Yes, hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Tyrese Gibson's going to join us shortly. You're going to love the conversation. I personally guarantee that. We want to talk to you as well on this show on hour number three. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. What's so funny about that?
It's like,
I personally guarantee it.
Yeah. Everyone's enjoyment.
I personally guarantee it. I'm Rich Eisen. I approve this message. What's so shocking?
We were just laughing.
I don't think it's shocking.
I personally guarantee it.
Not expecting.
John Bernthal was on in hour number two. Told a great story from the set of Wolf of Wall Street.
He was great.
How great was that, right?
It was great.
Go to our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show, for any and all of good stuff on that front. If you miss anything, you can go there. Our podcast as well on Cumulus Podcast Network. Later on this hour, Chris Collinsworth will play a soundbite from my final, 10th and final episode of the 10-part season two, Voices of the NFL, Just Getting Started podcast, which is my podcast I do with my guests telling their origin stories, their career origin stories. And I had 10 episodes, all of them from the Voices of the NFL. Chris Collinsworth tells a story about who was slated to be the play-by-play announcer for Sunday Night Football right before Al Michaels. The answer is it's him. Yes, you got to wait for it. You had that same reaction.
Collinsworth was going to do the play-by-play.
Correct. With John Madden.
Oh, goodness.
That was the idea that was being hatched.
Wow.
Wait till you hear him tell the story. It's amazing. That's later on this hour. This guy, when I heard he was up for calling in on the day that the Ravens are about to play a big-time Thursday night football game, he's one of my favorites that I got to meet and greet and at NFL Network Studios, the old ones now. And I loved chatting with him and getting to know him. He is a two-time Super Bowl champ, but guess what? He is currently on the all-time sacks list, sitting there at eighth. Everybody above him is in the Hall of Fame, and the one guy who's right below him, DeMarcus Ware, is first-time eligible to go to the Hall of Fame this year. He is the man known affectionately as T-Sizzle, right here on the Rich Eisen Show Mercedes-Benz Van phone line, our friend Terrell Suggs. How you doing, Terrell? How you been?
What's up, Rich? What's going on?
How you been? You good?
Man, I've been hanging, man. You know, I'm just hanging, you know, chilling out.
Okay.
Enjoying life.
I love it. I love it. Do you miss tackling people? Do you miss taking people?
I do not. I do not miss tackling people. I do miss the crazy locker rooms, though, and in the locker room gander. I do miss my boys, but as far as those man hours, nah, I don't miss those.
Who is the craziest? Who was it? Was it Ray? Charles Sink. Who was the one?
No, he was definitely the biggest leader, but crazy along the years.
Yes.
The list goes on. I don't know. Bart was pretty crazy.
Bart Scott?
Yeah, Bart Scott was pretty crazy. We had a couple of crazy guys. I mean, you couldn't really line up next to us if you wasn't a little off.
Okay. So let's jump into it a little bit here. What was it like when you got in that locker room? And there's Ray Lewis. And what is that like when you're a rookie and there he is and you know what he's already built and you know what he demands of people? What was that like?
The intimidation is real. And, you know, his legend doesn't really do him any justice because you are playing with this for real life, larger than life player. You know what I mean? It wasn't just him. You know, it was Ed Reed also. They kind of went hand in hand. And then you had the gentle giant, J.O., who was on the offense side of the ball, didn't talk much, didn't say much, but, you know, was probably the hands down the best left tackle ever to play football. So, I mean, we had all these guys in one locker room.
But I guess then you get out on a field and there's Ray behind you, right? And you need to do your job so he can do his and Ed can do his behind him. What sort of pressure is that for a young kid coming off the campus at Arizona State?
Tremendous pressure. It's like, yo, just mess this up. You know what I mean? And be where you're supposed to be. You know, when you're a college kid coming out, you know something about, you know, team sport. But when you get into, you know, the big show, the big leagues, and you got those kind of players there, they teach you about accountability. You know what I mean? And those guys really depend on you to not only know your stuff, but to know your opponent. You know what I mean? And study, and your study habits. They require you to be a professional 24/7, not just, you know, when you're at the building, but when you're off the field as well. And you know what I mean? I mean, they expect that out of you because they expect that out of themselves. So, I mean, you don't get better teammates than that.
Terrell Suggs here on the Rich Eisen Show. What was it like in that locker room when the lights went out in the Superdome for the Super Bowl?
Oh, man, it was just like, you know, it was a lot going on, especially, you know, with Roger Goodell and finding all of us and all of that. But when, you know, we was up pretty big when that happened. I don't know, we was up 28-3 or 28-7 or something like that. Something like that. We were up pretty big and the lights went out on us. And then all of a sudden they made this comeback and now it's a game. But, you know, we finished it out. But it was hands down the most craziest thing I've ever been a part of in a football game.
Well, how did you stay calm? I mean, what happened? I mean, you just go back.
Well, we thought we didn't think it was going to take as long as it did for the lights to come back on, but it took like an hour or so. But we just thought, you know, they were just going to flip the switch, lights come back on, we were going to get back to this rally, but it didn't happen like that. It didn't happen like that at all. I just remember Harb saying, stay loose, and all of that. And, you know, and Ray was like, yo, they're not going to stop us, you know, because that was his last game. And we just wouldn't be denied. They made a run at it, though.
Yeah.
They made a run at it, though. Colin Kaepernick, they did a great job of rallying back, you know what I mean? And it, like, scared all of us. They never took the lead, though. We never gave up the lead.
Well, it was 28-6 when the lights went out. And so in telling the story, Terrell Suggs, you mentioned Roger Goodell's name, the commissioner of the NFL's name. Are you like Ray? You think somebody pulled the plug because the Ravens were up too big? Are you?
I mean, you know, we'll leave that to the conspiracy.
Ray's been pounding that table quite a bit. He says that a lot.
I don't know. You know, if my leader says it, then yeah, definitely. NFL was after it. The NFL was up to something, but we'll leave that for the conspiracy theorists. But we were just out there having a blast, man. We was having a blast. You know, that was also Randy Moss' last game too, and he was out there, and it was a real. The storylines in that game was crazy. You know what I mean? And you know, it was the first time two brothers ever met.
That's right.
In a Super Bowl, so the storylines were crazy. You know what I mean? And you know, we just had fun with it. We had fun with it. And that was really the last time all of us was together. And I always say, you know, New Orleans is special to me. And I just remember us riding on the bus just like that whole week. I told all of them, like, yo, man, I love y'all, man. I love y'all. Like, I couldn't say it enough, you know. But it was a really special ride.
Terrell Suggs here on the Rich Eisen Show. What do you think of Lamar now? Are you glad you don't have to chase him down? I mean, I can't imagine what somebody in your position has to do with the quarterback that represents your team now.
Man, he and you know, when he first, he's really playing quarterback now, you know, and like, so he's a little bit more pocket conscious, you know, he don't really think run, like, but when his rookie year, he ran every time. And it was a nightmare in practice because he was the scout team quarterback. And I had to tell him, I'm like, dude, the quarterback is not as fast as you. You got to jog. You know what I mean? If you're going to scramble. I'm not going to pull a hamstring chasing you in practice. So, but, you know, the jump that he's made to be an NFL MVP and just the wins, he, like, it's, We've never seen nothing like it.
So you're saying saying when Lamar first got there, right, before he gained the role of starter midway through his rookie season, you're saying you needed to pull the rookie aside and say the purpose of you running quarterback of scout team is to mimic the person I'm supposed to be playing against this weekend, and the person I'm playing against this weekend is not you because there's nobody like you. You literally had to say that to Lamar Jackson.
Yeah,
tell him to slow down.
Yeah, I had to tell him he had to jog. You have to jog. Who we're playing, Phillip Rivers, whoever we were playing.
Phillip Rivers.
You know what I mean? Like, come on. You know what I mean? Like, Andy Dalton wasn't that fast. Big Ben wasn't that fast. Like, you got to, come on, man.
Did he listen?
You got to jog.
Did he do? Did he jog then after that? Did he actually jog?
Yeah, but he was still too fast.
Even his jogging's that fast. He is amazing.
Well, his jog is a lot of people's top speed, and it was ridiculous. And we like, yo, man, you can't keep doing that. You know what I mean?
He is.
We're scrambling out there.
He is amazing. And you know, in 2019, his MVP year, he was 6-2 midway through, just like now. He had 400 fewer passing yards than he has now. He had only about 37 more rushing yards than he has now, and only accounts for two more touchdowns rushing or passing than he has now. He has the same number, if not better, than his year that he was the unanimous MVP. Terrell Suggs.
I don't even think he's 25 yet. Is he 25 yet?
Good question. I've got guys who have, thankfully have Google in front of them.
I think he's probably like 24.
24.
I don't think he's 25 yet.
Yeah, Sizzle, you're right. He's still 24. Yet. Yep.
24.
That's crazy. The kid haven't even went through NFL puberty yet.
So what do you think the Ravens' chances are this year? What do you think as they go tonight against the Dolphins to kick off week 10?
You know, the Ravens, they always got a shot. Well, I mean, what I'm going to say, they always got a shot because, you know, just the culture and the attitude, they always got a shot. The 62 to sit at top of their division, and that's a start. You know what I mean? And they play how they're supposed to play, they'll be in it. I think I saw something. If they started today, they would have the number one seed in the AFC. So, you know, they always got a shot.
What do you think of? What do you mean by culture and attitude?
It's just that, you know, in Baltimore, they kind of live for November and December football. I think that's when the you know who's for real, and you kind of know where you stand. And you know if you're a legit contender or not in November and December. And that's the football that we used to thrive on. I'm pretty sure they thrive on that. So.
Well, and when I mentioned a two-time Super Bowl champion to start this thing, you have any thoughts on Kansas City and why they look so off in a way that they never looked off? You joined them at the back end of that season.
I don't really have an answer for it. But, you know, Mahomes 15, that quarterback, you got one of the fastest human beings to ever walk the planet. They still got a iconic tight end. You know what I mean? And you know what I mean? They still got home games. So as long as they got home games and a shot, and every game starts 0-0 and they got a shot to win it, they're going to play. So, I mean, it's still a long season. People don't realize that, but that extra game changes everything. A lot more team, you know, adding an extra team to the playoff, that changes things. Like, you're not out, and you know what I mean? And an extra game actually gives you a better chance of getting in. So it's still a long season. I don't even think they're halfway through yet. It might be halfway through.
Right.
But that extra game I'm telling you, it's a game changer.
Okay. Before I let you go, Terrell Suggs, you want to chime in on the emphasis of taunting in the NFL right now? What do you got for me on that?
You know me, I'm an old school guy. I think it's a terrible rule. I think, you know, our game was so good is because of the personalities, the identities. Like, just think, they would have flagged Ray Lewis every play for taunting. He jumped in a guy's face every time he hit him. So, I think it's a rule they're going to eventually either lighten up on, or they're eventually going to get rid of it, just like they did with the celebrations. You know what I mean? They was like, oh, you can't celebrate. You can't dunk the ball over the goal. You know what I mean? But then they eventually brought that back because they realized it was good for the game. So hopefully the NFL do the right thing and ease up on it, or, you know, eventually just get rid of it.
Well, I mean, I don't mind if we're taking out somebody standing over somebody or throwing a football at somebody. You know, like that has no place. But
yeah, that has no place.
But when, I mean, but
you,
when you're
you still have sportsmanship,
correct. But when you're now putting such an emphasis on it that an official that doesn't see somebody's the front of their body, but just sees the back of somebody staring at a bench and thinking that maybe he's saying something, and we're throwing a flag without knowing. Now we're in a totally different ball of wax, like what happened on Monday, and I can't stand that. That one just infuriated.
Like, you mean I think it has too much of the outcome of the game, and you don't really want to take the outcome of the game out of the field of play on a call like that. So.
Well, let's do this more often. Now that we're back in touch, I remember you used to come on Ravens Cam on NFL Total Access. I had hair. You were playing football. It was
I
great.
I had hair.
Yeah. Look at us now. Look at us now.
Look at us now, baby.
Look at us
now.
Great to connect with you again. I would love to have you back on if you're as much as you're up for it, Terrell Suggs.
Absolutely, Rich. You know, I love our chats.
Right back at you. That's T Sizzle, the one and only Terrell Suggs, currently. Right now, eighth leading sacker of all time. 139. Doesn't miss putting people down on the floor, on the turf, but does miss the guys in the locker room. Great chat right there.
I bet he doesn't miss practice.
But certainly if your quarterback who's running scout team needs to be told to slow down.
That's funny.
How about funny? He's mimicking Phillip Rivers running like that. Like, come on.
That's funny. Phil ain't running.
Jog.
Phil,
you should crawl. He should have crawled.
That's so good.
Let's take a break. Tyrese Gibson, you're going to love this chat. I personally guarantee it. I don't know why you find that so funny. I guarantee this next segment you're going to love with the actor and singer Tyrese Gibson. Battle Creek, Michigan, 1963. Kellogg's and Post, sworn cereal rivals, race to create a pastry that will change the face of breakfast forever. A wildly imaginative tale of ambition, betrayal, and menacing milkmen, sweetened with artificial ingredients. Unfrosted stars Jerry Seinfeld in his directorial film debut. It features a supporting cast of comedy greats, including Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, Hugh Grant, Amy Schumer, Max Greenfield, Christian Slater, Sarah Cooper, Bill Burr, and many more. Streaming right now on Netflix. Let's talk Game Time. Boy, do we love using Game Time tickets at the Rich Eisen Show. And every single time I've been watching the basketball playoffs on TV, I've been wondering what it would be like to be at these games. And when you choose your tickets on Game Time, you can see the view from your seat, where the court is, where you are in relation to it. And then the all-in prices, that's my favorite feature. The all-in prices makes sure that you see the lowest price guarantee and also know exactly how much everything costs all in before you purchase. So all the guesswork is removed when you buy playoff tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
We're just explaining why Tyrese Gibson couldn't be on the live show last week because all whole hell heck broke loose during week 9. So we said, hey, would you mind sticking around and post-taping? He said, yes, this is it. Pleased to have here on the Rich Eisen Show a man who is starring in the film Dangerous that is out there in theaters and on demand, starring Mel Gibson, Scott Eastwood, Famke Johnson and Kevin Durant with a D. It's not Kevin Durant. That's a big, yes, I know. It's a big difference. Here on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line is none other than Tyrese Gibson. How are you, Tyrese?
I'm good, man. Good morning to you, sir.
Now, good morning to you as well. This is not a surprise to me that your voice does sound great, man. I got to be honest with you. It's coming through now.
Yeah, your voice is great too, man. Compliments to you too, sir.
Radio, I appreciate it. Well, I've got this big microphone in front of me. You're talking in front of a landline, right? This sounds like a...
Yeah.
You're an adult. You know, you're an adult. You have a landline. You've got a voice. You're going to ready to roll. I love it.
No. I'm talking to you from my cell phone. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Whoa. Wow.
Jeez. Okay. I like it. I like it very much. How did you get into acting? How did that first start for you, Tyrese?
John Singleton. Rest in peace. was the guy that, you know, I think we've all had that moment where we either see something, we're exposed to something, or someone says something and they're like, I see something in you that you may not see in yourself. Mm-hmm. And at the time, you know, I was only a singer and I was so excited about my singing career. The last thing I wanted to do was act. And, you know, they always say, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. So I guess there was something I was supposed to do that I was running from or never just sat still and heavily considered. And John Singleton chased me for 5 years and just kept saying, you're going to be an actor. I'm going to put you in a movie. And he did that to so many people, from Ice Cube to Nia Long to you name it, Morris Chestnut. Just a lot of people that he ended up putting on who made their debut in a film that he directed, and I was one of the lucky ones. So fast forward, as I get this call about Dangerous on the other side of him passing away, mm-hmm. coming up on 3 years now, when I book movies, it feels different now because he would always be the first person I would call.
Oh, boy.
And I would call him throughout the shoot or just talk to him about, you know, we got to do this scene, man, any advice? You know, he was constantly mentoring me. And, you know, you never miss a good thing till it's gone. But, yeah, this Dangerous movie is something, man.
Well, I just want to linger a bit with John Singleton before we get to the present day as well, Tyrese. So why did he have to chase you down? Don't you say yes to John Singleton right away? No?
I knew who he was, but this might sound ghetto as hell, okay. Might be crazy.
Sure.
But my truth is, I'm from South Central L.A., and when you're in the hood, they always talk a lot of mess about people who go Hollywood. Oh, he acting all Hollywood. And then after I did my first movie, the only reason I did it is because my character was from South Central L.A. It was a ghetto classic. We felt it at the time while we were making it. And I felt like all my boys I grew up with would never say I went Hollywood because I was doing a movie that was about the hood. And then later on, as I got into the industry, I realized that Hollywood is not a career. It's a personality type. And people are arrogant, cocky, act like they're bigger and better than everybody. Their nose is up in the air. He acting all Hollywood was something that they could say about anybody. You could be in real estate. You can be a thousandaire, a millionaire. And if you start acting brand new, bougie, or out of touch, then that's a personality type that they call Hollywood. So it was the stupidest thing in the world. Like, I ain't never finna do no movie. They ain't finna call me Hollywood. But that was my reason. Hmm. And John talked me into it. It just goes to show you, man, that should never listen to people on any level that's trying to discourage you from taking advantage of opportunities. And who would ever think I'd be working with, you know, Mel Gibson, mm-hmm. who I grew up watching. Ever since I seen Passion of the Christ, I just was like, man, one day I just hope to share the screen with this man. And here we are. I work with Kevin Durand.
That's right. Yeah.
We did a film called Legion. Me, him, and Dennis Quaid. So it was cool to reconnect with him. And I work with Scott Eastwood as well on Fast 8. So, yeah, it was, it felt like a bit of a homecoming, and It was a moment, you know. My last name is Gibson. His last name is Gibson.
Yes, that's so, right.
It's pretty cool.
Pair of Gibsons, no doubt about that. Tyrese Gibson here on the Rich Eisen Show. What did you like about Dangerous? What do you like? What should we be looking forward to seeing in this one?
I mean, you know, the gist of the movie is Scott Eastwood is trying to get to the bottom of who killed his brother. And he's literally a sociopath who has to take medicine because he just doesn't. He's a sociopath, and you know, he just kind of goes through this whole movie on this journey trying to get to the bottom of who killed his brother. And I can't give the whole movie away, but right. it's one of them thrillers. Trying to avenge his brother's death. It's something crazy.
It's available in theaters right now on demand. Tyrese Gibson here on the Rich Eisen Show. So what's your sports affiliation? Lakers? Would you go Lakers? Dodgers?
Yeah,
you got any football?
I'm not a big sports guy, but if I do rock with sports, it's definitely the Lakers.
Okay. Well, because I thought, you know, and I've done this for a long time in the sports world for about 25 years. Virtually every singer, recording artist wants to be a sports star and vice versa. You know, that never hit you? That never...
Not me.
Not you. Okay.
No way.
All right. No way. Really? That never hit you? Because it just strikes...
Yeah. I haven't... I mean, this is sadly... If I watch a football game, mm-hmm. it's normally Super Bowl.
Sure.
If I watch a baseball game, it's normally pieces of the World Series. Mm-hmm. So I live in Atlanta now, and so obviously I was definitely watching bits and pieces of that game.
Okay,
and feel really proud of the Braves now that I live here. But I'm a Laker fan, always been from the beginning of time. Magic Johnson. Kobe to LeBron now. It's definitely my favorite team.
Tyrese Gibson here on the Rich Eisen Show. Tyrese, we play with celebrity guests on this program, a game called Celebrity True or False. We have a couple of facts here from your filmography, as well as articles that have been written about you. And I just want to know what's true and false, if you don't mind. We even have some...
Okay,
here we go. We even have some good production value to it. Go ahead, hit it, please.
Celebrity, true or false?
You can't handle the truth.
Okay, here we go. First one up. Is it true or false? You bought your first house at age 16. Is that a true or false story?
True.
Is this from money from film career, singing? What was it for you?
My singing.
Your
yeah,
singing.
I got my record deal. After I did my Coke commercial.
Your Coke commercial.
I bought my house with my advance.
How'd you get into a Coke commercial as a teenager? How did that work?
They called my high school.
Come on.
Said they were looking for a male black 16 through 18 for a Coke commercial. And I was the last person to show up for the audition. And I got the gig. Changed my life.
So, okay. So you're just walking through the halls of your high school and somebody pulls you aside and says that, hey, we got a call.
No, they called the music department.
Okay. And you were in the music department?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So you've always been attracted to music, right? I guess then.
Music is my first love, still to this day.
So what did you do in that Coke commercial? What'd you do?
I'm singing on the bus. I got a backpack on, and the way the commercial ends, I end up with a really big smile at the end. Wearing headphones and a backpack. It's a very, very, very famous commercial. It changed my life when I was 15. And my mother had to co-sign on the house because you got to be at least 21 to own a property in mm-hmm. California. And she co-signed, and I bought the house.
Wow. Life-changing commercial. Now you live in Atlanta, home of Coca-Cola. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's crazy.
How about that? Second one, true or false?
A few times.
True or false, Tyrese Gibson? You have a big-time fear of owls. Is that true or false?
True.
Why? Why do you have a fear of owls?
I just don't like them. It's no different than people that don't like rats.
It's a majestic bird for many people, though, Tyrese.
Yeah, well, not for me.
Okay. All right. Next up, when you were growing up, you dreamed of becoming a trash collector when you were a young child. Is that a true story as well?
Very true.
Okay. What appealed to you? Just the truck and working hard or something like that?
I just, you know, anything that feels alpha for me from childhood. All my big homies were alphas. Everything I know about what I identify with as a real man is an alpha. And I just thought there's a lot of jobs out there, but it takes a real man, a real alpha, to be picking up trash. And at the time, this was long before people were pulling up to the trash can and it has the automatic thing that kind of picks it up.
Yes.
With a forklift. And
yeah, right.
This is when real men was like pulling up and, you know, they wore their back braces and they was lifting that trash mm-hmm. up and right. doing that thing. So I used to go like 10 houses up the street. I put on like 3 or 4 belts around my waist, regular belts.
Yeah.
And every week I just would help the trash man. And that's what I wanted to be. That was long before I ever knew I could sing, way long before any thought of acting. And, yeah, I knew that they had medical and dental benefits. And
there you go.
I was
sure.
Like coming home every day smelling like trash. It had to be pretty sexy to your girlfriend or your wife. And so that's what I wanted to do.
All right. The last one for you here on Celebrity True or False, Tyrese Gibson. True or false, you have a fully functioning Benihana-style restaurant located right in your backyard, and you call it Gibsihana. Is that true or story?
It's true, and you can Google it. There's okay. videos, there's photos. I've been partying in that thing for the last 10 years.
So do you operate it yourself? Do you chop things up yourself?
All my employees are from Benihana's.
like you go straight to the fruit of the vine is what you're saying. You go straight to the Benihana and you get them in and they do their thing for you in your backyard.
Yeah. It's called poaching.
Okay.
I've definitely poached. The thing is, I've been doing this for years, and I don't mean no disrespect to the Benihana empire,
mm-hmm.
but if I'm ever looking for someone to do something,
mm-hmm.
I normally show up to their job where they're doing what I want them to do for me,
mm-hmm.
and then I'll just ask them, let me get your phone number. I don't want you to leave your job, but here and there I'm going to call you and see if you want to take advantage of this opportunity. I mean, you can Google this as well. I even built a full cleaners with the iron and press steam. I built a full cleaners in my garage. They actually did a story on it on TMZ, which is kind of random. But
yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so it's just one of those things where my brain has always been, if I see it, if I like it, if I want it,
mm-hmm.
then I'm going to do it. And the idea came from a complaint that I've heard from most of my celebrity VIP friends that we can't go nowhere, can't eat nowhere, can't do anything, especially in L.A., because the paparazzi and the cameras is always messing with us. So I don't want to name drop, but if you can think of anybody who's an A, B, and C list star, director, writer, producer, you name it,
mm-hmm.
all ate in my backyard. And we've had some of the most legendary parties. And it's been amazing. The crazy thing is I'm actually selling the house right now. And that's the hardest part about letting the house go. Because there's so many moments that, you know, so many moments. Michael Bay, John Singleton, just you name it.
Sure.
Paul Walker. First time I used it, first time I built it, was for my daughter's 5th birthday, and she's 14 now. And damn. So if you pull up an image right now and you type in Gypsy Hanna, you'll see an image of Paul Walker, Vin Diesel, and Will Smith with his daughter all sitting in my backyard at Benihana's.
That has to be legendary. That has to have been a legendary day. Most.
And then across from Paul Walker and Vin was actually Dexter and Bernice King, who is the son and daughter of Martin Luther King and Coretta Scott King. All of this happened on the debut, the first time I ever built it and used it. And so I knew that I was like, if we're starting this way, it's only up from here.
Yeah. I should say so, and it's too bad I never got there, too, because I'll be honest with you, Tyrese, I'm a messy eater, so if I'd gotten something on my shirt, you're telling me I could have gone in your garage and gotten it fully cleaned and laundered and pressed
well. We could have got you all the way right. We could have washed, pressed you up, put you in a regular T-shirt so we took care of you, and then had that thing delivered to you. Here's the thing. I even had the plastic to go on top. So once we press it, put the plastic
full
on.
Full service.
It was full service, baby. You should Google all this stuff, man. I don't lie. I don't lie to my friends.
Right.
You know, I don't make stuff up, man. It's I went all out. And then I went and poached like four people that work at the cleaners. It's like, you know, if you work 5 days a week, man, just come see me on Saturday. Take care of you. Everything in my house. I spend so much money on the cleaners every year because there's certain things that you just can't put in the washing machine.
That's true.
I was like, man, I'm not spending all this money. I said, I'm going to hire this guy. I'm going to pay him per hour. And he's just going to get me right with every suit, button up, and pants, and everything, you name it. And you work at the cleaners, so you know how to operate all this stuff in here. Yes, sir.
Where have you been all my life, Tyrese? My God, this is fantastic. I really am inspired by every word that's dropping out of your mouth right now. This is amazing. Dangerous in Theaters and On Demand. Check it out with Tyrese Gibson, Mel Gibson, Kevin Durand, Thomke Johnson, and Scott Eastwood. This has been
Do you mind if I mention one thing
Please? Before
we go?
Have at it.
Of course we want you guys to go see Dangerous. But I wanted to mention one of the proudest things I've ever done in my life is launch VoltronTravel.com, VoltronTravel.com. travel.com.
Okay.
Every booking, hotel, flight, or car rental, every booking, we're shaving off a percentage to put black and brown people through college at HBCUs. The proudest thing I've ever done. So with all of the holiday travel that's coming up, please go to VoltronTravel.com, and you can go and book anywhere. I get it. But when you book with me, you're making a difference, and we're putting black and brown people through college with full scholarships, the underserved, and it's the proudest thing I've ever done. And I just wanted to make sure I mentioned that before we go.
It's fantastic. VoltronTravel.com. TJ, you wanted to hop in here?
I just had a quick question. Tyrese, what up, man? This is TJ.
What up, man?
So you brought up Baby Boy earlier, right? And so now I'm thinking the Benihana and the dry cleaner, right? Is that fall into the guns category or the butter category? You know, Vin Rang's talked about the guns and the butter. So which one of these categories do these two fall into?
Here's the thing.
It's a good one.
Here's the thing. One thing I never look forward to is an invoice from Benihana. And so me paying that one chef and feeding damn near 200 people per night, I would think that it would fall into the butter category.
There's your answer.
The amount of money I was looking to save from my cleaners every month, sheets and bedding and clothes, it's butter, saving money. That's my answer.
There you go.
That's what's up.
This is great, Tyrese Gibson. Let's do this more often. Whenever you want to promote anything, this chat has just been delightful, and it's been awesome. So thanks for the call. I really appreciate it. Let's do this again.
Hey, man, thank you for having me on, and thank you guys for your great energy. This is my first interview of the day.
Excellent.
So I'm off to a good start.
There we go.
No doubt.
There we go. I hate to tell you, and I don't mean to slag on anybody else in my business. It's all downhill from here for you, unfortunately.
Sorry to say that. Thank you for letting me mention the travel site on the air as well.
You
man.
Got it.
It means a lot to me.
VoltronTravel.com. A slice of all the bookings goes towards putting, as he said, people of color into HBCUs where our friend Deion Sanders currently coaches college football.
Indeed.
So, fantastic. Yeah, Eddie George.
And it's via the Thurgood Good Marshall Foundation as well. It's been around for well over 75 years.
Fantastic.
So they're my partner to make sure that all the money from the bookings are going to put folks through college. So I'm just very, very proud. And while I'm on the air, I'm like, you know, I probably couldn't afford this conversation. But now that we're on the airwaves, I just hope y'all definitely book with us.
You got it. VoltronTravel.com, Dangerous in Theaters. Tyrese Gibson, thank you, sir. You be well.
Thank you.
You got it. Tyrese Gibson right here on The Rich Eisen Show. How much fun was that, right?
That was good stuff.
Fantastic.
Oh, great. All right, so let's take a break. When we come back, this incredible story from Chris Collinsworth about how he almost called Sunday night football games on NBC as the play-by-play announcer. Don't go anywhere. A terrific story coming up.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Bleav Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen. Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Wait for 4204 Rich number dial. Sunday night football. The Chiefs coming off of two straight wins, I tell you. And the Raiders coming off that bye, having lost to the Giants. Raiders hosting the Chiefs in Las Vegas, Nevada. I wonder if Al can go there. He can go there and maybe, you know, play some craps by at halftime or something like that, right? Al's is going to roll the bones. It'll be great. Sunday night, 7 Eastern times, Mahomes car, AFC West matchup. It's going to be great. So the 10-episode season 2 of Just Getting Started, my origin story podcast on the voices of the NFL. Al was the first guest and the final guest that just posted yesterday. The podcast can be gotten where all podcasts are acquired through the Cumulus Podcast Network. Chris Collinsworth.
He slid into that last spot.
Let me tell you, man. So Collinsworth tells a story about him trying play-by-play on for size and why and who followed him instead of him getting that gig. Okay. Check it out.
I couldn't undo what I had learned to do my whole life. Like, when I broadcast the game, I don't watch the football. A lot of times I lose where it is because I think Al's job is to tell you what's happening to the football, and my job is to tell you something you didn't see. So if I'm watching the football, I'm telling you the same thing that Al told you and that you already saw on TV. So I'm watching everything but. So when I'm trying to do play-by-play, now I've got to watch the football. And I didn't really know, like just getting on the air. Hello, everybody. How are you? We're here in Kansas City, and this team's that, and you know, blah, 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 blah. That's a lot harder than you think it is. Just opening your show every week. People don't appreciate, and then the transition when somebody's talking in your ear and saying, all right, it's time for commercial now, and it's 7, 6, and I'm trying to go, and I'm going, we're gonna be right back. I'm like a dancer. I'm like going with the beat of the music, you know? I go, this is so goddamn hard. And finally, Eversol comes out at the end of the first quarter. He goes, what are you doing? And I go, what are you talking about? I go, I'm just surviving. He goes, stop trying to be the play-by-play guy. Just talk to John in football. Just talk football to him. And so we go back in, and we did. And we just started having, like, a conversation. Probably a little bit more like Peyton and Eli kind of thing. And then I would know, you know, a guy's name, or I would do just play a little bit of Adam. So at the end of this you know, wild ride, we go back, and so now everybody's going to have a little debrief, and we're going to talk about all this stuff. And so Dick comes back, and he goes, listen, I want you to know, if you want this job, it's yours. You got me? If you want this job, it's yours. Okay? He said, but I have a chance now to get Al Michaels. I said, what are you, stupid? I go, get the hell out of here. Let's take the jet and go get Al. I go, are you crazy? I go, you're going to do me over Al Michaels? I go, I would never do that to you. And so that's when they did the whole deal, and they came down, you know, and they, in some ways, I think that, and not that anybody would ever admit it, I was like, was I the leverage for Al Michaels? Did I cost Al like a couple of $1 million? Because in his mind, there was at least a possibility that I could have been the play-by-play guy. If he'd have sat in the room and watched me be play-by-play guy, he would have tripled his price instead of taking some reduction in. So there you go.
Fantastic.
And then they traded for Al Michaels, if you remember that, because he was part of
Monday, right?
Monday Night Football on ESPN, ABC, on ABC. Yeah. And so Disney wanted, and that's part of the story. What the big part of the trade was Oswald the Rabbit, which was a character
that's right
that Disney wanted back.
I remember.
Because NBC Universal owned the precursor to Mickey Mouse, and it looked just like Mickey Mouse. Yeah. Oswald the Rabbit, they had the rights to it, and Disney kind of probably had some lawyers somewhere saying, hey, NBC Universal could start making movies that looks just like Mickey Mouse. You kind of need to close this loop a little bit here. And part of the trade for Al Michaels,
yeah, I remember,
because ESPN and ABC got some rights to use some highlights for Olympics during SportsCenter's coverage, you know, got to use some Olympic highlights during SportsCenter, and Oswald the Rabbit. And Al Michaels got to do Sunday Night Football. And Chris tells that story. And also tells the story he wanted to be a lawyer. He was going to be a lawyer when he was done playing. And then he got some local radio opportunities, and off he went. Wound up on Fox calling games. Wound up on Fox doing studio. Then wound up on Fox with Aikman and Buck in the booth.
Crazy.
Thursday Night Football. He and Brian Gumbel did games together. We go over the whole thing. Yep. It's amazing. Where all podcasts are acquired. Please go check it out. The all 10 episodes. Some great voices in there. Nance and Buck telling their stories, getting started. Aaron Andrews and Strahan and Chris Berman, just to name a few. It's good stuff. I want to thank today's guests, Tyrese Gibson, John Bernthal, Arthur Smith, dropping the mattrel in a sentence. This really is my favorite thing. And then, of course, T-Sizzle getting set for Thursday Night Football. For those on the radio, we'll chat on Friday. For those on Peacock, are the Rams going after Odell Beckham?
Oh.
What?